All right. As you can see, we are now joined by our race winner for today's Enjoy Illinois 300 here at Worldwide Technology Raceway, Austin Cindric, driver of the number 2 Team Penske Ford. We will go straight to questions for Austin. If you have a question, please raise your hand and we'll bring a wireless microphone to you. We'll start right here on the left.
Hey, Austin, I'm Benjamin Hockman from the St. Louis newspaper, the Post-Dispatch. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We talked to Walt about him talking to your father on the phone. Have you gotten to speak to your father yet? And what can you share about this moment that you shared with him?
Yeah, I spoke to him and my mom in Victory Lane over the phone. You know, it's funny, my pops and I kind of have this thing. I don't believe in luck or like any juju or whatever, but like he and I are both pretty convinced over the last handful of years that he and I both can't have good days at the racetrack. Like, if the two car and IndyCar has a good day, the two car NASCAR doesn't. Like, it's just kind of this conspiracy theory that lives with us. And watching the IndyCar race today, they had a really bad race. Just had everything go wrong that could have went wrong. And we're still proving that theory correct because, can't think of a better day for us on the two car in NASCAR. I mean, he's my dad, so I love the guy. other than that, I mean, it's probably not the strangest it's ever been, but like, you know, in Xfinity, he could kind of avoid me and just kind of let me and my team do our thing, and he'd, you know, kind of ignore that, obviously, his role within the team. But, you know, he's in all of our meetings now. You know, our goals are the exact same as far as, you know, what makes this team great. So and I can't think of a better leader for our team. You know, I've been able to see it firsthand, you know, the difference that he makes. So proud to be able to watch that grow up around that, and proud to be his son.
Going to go over to Dustin and then Bob, and then we'll go in the middle.
Dustin Albino, NASCAR.com. Austin, all three Penske cars ran in the top five for most of the race today. So how important of a day was this for Penske?
It was super critical for us. I mean, obviously, you know, there's been, you know, RFK's definitely showed some speed from the Ford side and been able to prove, hey, you know, we can run up front and win in this package. And, you know, there's a lot of conversation about different OEMs and this and that. And, that's definitely something we look at as a race team to try and improve and get better. And, you know, running, you know, barely being able to run top 10 with one car at Charlotte after winning the year before. And you know, Joey and I, best we could do is 14th and 20th. You know, that's last week. That's the last thing that's in our head. And, you know, some of those things, you know, you're easy to get down on. But, you know, this team has an incredible ability to be consistent, whether if it's at the Indy 500 or you know, this weekend at Gateway. You know, having incredibly consistent pace between all of our cars all through the get-go. And, you know, we've had, like, super speedways have been that way for us this year. And, you know, I've left every single one of those feeling guilty because we haven't won. You know, I thought I had a shot to win Daytona, thought I had a shot to win Atlanta, thought I had a shot to win Talladega, and we didn't win any of them with arguably the fastest cars. And going into the race today, I went to bed last night knowing that I'd be really, really disappointed if one of us didn't win. I was just happy that we were in position there when the 12 car ran out, and you know, to bring home a win, because this team deserves it. I can't wait to see everybody back at the shop, and everyone's been super supportive in believing in me through good days and bad days, and I can't think of a better place to work.
And it looks like that's a horseshoe there. What's up with the horseshoe?
It's a race fan. I guess he gives them to the winners every year. I guess Joey has one. So I have one now, because I won today. So that's cool. It's kind of little things like that, I guess you keep and hang on to after race wins. I was like driving by on the golf cart when he gave it to me, so I don't really know the story behind it, but I mean, it kind of makes sense, right? Thank you.
I'm going to go to Bob.
Bob Harkris, Fox Sports. I have two. The first, obviously Bell had his engine issue. Blaney has his fuel issue. Did you have any issues? Were there any sounds or anything where you're like, oh, I'm going to break too?
Bob, I didn't even know we were close on fuel. So, like, I was kind of shocked, like, if I'm being honest. I mean, maybe you guys didn't know we were close on fuel either, but I either way, crazy to think that probably the two best cars at the end of that race both had an issue, and the third place car wins a race. That's the way I see it. I mean, it's not like I went out there and took the lead away, but we were in position, and it's one of our best executed races so far this year with, you know, probably our best speed we've shown this year. So proud to be able to do that. And there's definitely still a bit of that shock factor left over for me.
I think Blaney didn't know he was short on fuel either. So
yeah, no, I'm honestly like heartbroken for those guys, and I know it might sound like cliche to say that, but I really do feel that way. Like those guys are championship contenders, and you know a win, 5 playoff points goes a really long way for those guys, and you know we've got an important summer coming up for our group to be able to put ourselves on that level every week.
And I'm wondering what's motivating you right now? Is it like I'm in third year cup, I gotta win because now time, or I mean, heck, you have the four SHR drivers who are now all looking for work. Did you feel anything like, I mean, I gotta win or else somebody else is gonna take my ride?
Well, I think there's two avenues I could take on that. I'll take you down both of them. One of which is I'm a very internally motivated person. I don't like, this isn't fun if I'm not winning. So I can, as you can imagine, it's not been very fun for a little while, and that's the standard I hold, and I don't want to find myself in a position to be okay with 10th and be okay like, hey, I've finished in the top 10, that's an awesome day. No, that's 10th. Like, that's good, it's a step forward, but it's not where I want to be. It's not the level in which I prepare. It's not the level in which my team expects to perform. That, to dovetail into the next avenue, that's not good enough to race and drive at Team Penske, and I know that. Like, no one has to tell me that. There's no meeting that has to be set in place, and you know, I take that very personally. The opportunity that I have, you know, to be able to go win at the highest level, and it's the intensity that I carry every day when I wake up and go to the race shop. I cut out every other distraction in my life, good, bad, or indifferent. You know, if that makes me a horribly rounded person, which it does in a lot of ways, all I care about is what I do. I'm in between the walls of a racetrack.
I'm going to go right up here in the front.
Hey Austin, Brad Harris from frontstretch.com. You know, you're talking about super speedways earlier. You got a win at Daytona. How much of a validation do you feel like it's the win on a track that's totally different from a restrictor plate?
Well, they're going to tell me it's because it's like a road course. You know that, right?
Of course.
So I went through the same thing in Xfinity, right? You went on a road course, and you got to win on an oval, and then you got to win on a short track, and then at some point, they just got to accept the fact that you're going to be good every week. So I'm not saying that that's where I'm at. I've just lived this before. But either way, I'm at the point where I don't really care what type of racetrack it is. I feel like our speedway programs are awesome. And opportunities for us to win every time, and you know this racetrack has been that way for us the last 3 years. So going into it, knowing that it could be an opportunity race for us, and just proud to be there in the moment and execute like a top level team should.
I'm gonna go to Cole and then work our way up in the middle.
Cole Cusimano, kicking the tires. I got two for you. First, just real quick, I'm curious if you got the chance to speak with Ryan, and if so, what those conversations were like following the race.
Yeah, Ryan came by and saw me in victory lane and congratulated me and my team, and it just shows the professional that he is. I mean, he was happy for us probably as much as he could be. I'd be heartbroken, if I'm sure he is, and you know, I feel really bad for him. So I'm just, you know, proud to have teammates like that really care about the effort that we put forth. And you know, we race side by side a lot of the day, and it's a good day for me when I'm able to keep up with that 12 car. You know, he does an awesome job every week.
And then when you have these strategy heavy races, is that something that you kind of think about in the car as being really stressful on yourself, or do you just kind of task at hand, drive the car and do your own thing?
I leave that all up to Brian. And I'll be honest, like, I don't know, I feel like there's been some times this year, and I'm sure it's gone completely unnoticed, but I'll bring it up. Like we've lost some positions, put ourselves in bad spots on, you know, tailing the lead lap, or, you know, a lap down, you know, due to, you know, maybe trying to be aggressive on strategy or conservative on strategy. And, you know, that's something that Brian has been, you know, it's been frustrating, because, like, it's, you know, that's crew chief's job, right? But, like, you gotta do whatever he feels right, and that's what I always encourage him. Like, if there's one way you want to go, just do it, and I'll believe in you 100%. And this was a strategy race, and Brian called an awesome race today. It was an aggressive race, and put ourselves in position to really take advantage of the opportunity. So kudos to him, and this one means, I'm sure it means a lot to Brian's first win as a crew chief in the Cup Series. I gave him the checkered flag after the race because I'm just so happy we were able to get one of these together.
I'm going to say we have a couple here in the middle, and then we'll go over to the left side.
Mitchell Kaminsky, ABC 17 News. I know you said you weren't aware you guys were so low on fuel, but Brian was saying the initial goal is to pit around the same time as the 12. When you saw that he had run out, were you at all concerned coming around that last lap? Or?
I didn't know he ran out until we were in victory lane. I didn't, like, I didn't know we were that close, or maybe they didn't get full. Obviously, they pitted a lap sooner than us. I didn't get the impression that we were, you know, one lap away, you know, from running out. So obviously, you have to kind of dig through the data on that one. But yeah, just kind of shocked, and just, I mean, you're taking the white as a leader. So you're kind of just focused on not screwing it up. I'll be honest, I was like super nervous after taking the checkered, like came off of turn four, identify that the guy has the checkered flag in his hand, listen to my spotter telling me that I just won the race, and still terrified that I needed to keep driving fast. I mean, that's how long it's been since I've won a race, and I just didn't want to give it away the dumb way, but because the green lights were still on, because we were at the tail end of the pack, so they were all finishing. Yeah, just a lot of emotions in a very short amount of time.
And then you alluded to how it's kind of, there's some skill sets that are similar to a road course. I asked Tyler Reddick about that. He said it was a bit of a stretch. Do you feel that it translates, or is that kind of the...
I mean, yes and no. I'd say it's definitely different than other racetracks that we go to, just as far as, like, you know, all the shifting that we do. I don't think, especially in this car with the sequential gearbox, it's not like an art form to be able to shift this car. But as far as the decisions you have to make, you do have the opportunity to, like, physically outbrake someone into the corner. You know, maybe from a racing standpoint, that kind of adds up. But past that, it's very much an oval racetrack. It's kind of got that short track feel, just due to how much you're on the brakes and how tight some of the corners are.
Stay right up here in the middle.
Austin Samuel Stubbs, Yard Barker. First off, congratulations.
Thank you.
But take us through, you know, you're running second with lap and a half to go, and then Ryan slows and ultimately runs out of gas. Take us through maybe like the 3 minutes from lap and a half to go to when you're pulling, you know, you're doing your burnout and everything. Did you go from thinking, hey, you know, good points day, to, you know, are you sure we won the race? Did we really just win? Because not only did you win, now you're locked into the playoffs. This opens up a whole, you know, a whole second season for you, really, with how the playoffs work. Just talk us through your emotions there in the last, you know, 5 minutes and how everything happened so quickly.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'll take you back to probably like 10 to go. There was a bit of blood in the water because the lap cars were racing the snot out of Ryan. And he was probably 3 or 4 tenths slower, and Ryan had probably like a 2 second lead on me. And unfortunately, the 34 had just come out of pit road, so I had traffic too for quite a while. But the two of us both ran him down, and I eventually got around the 34 and thought there might be a chance, like if he got slowed up or didn't get by the 99, that I would maybe have a chance. So, I mean, I was the whole stint, obviously, I'm giving everything I have to stay in touch. But especially as we got closer to the end there, it's like, okay, I don't need these tires for the end of the race. I don't need them for a restart. Like, we're just going to go after and go try and go get it. And then I saw him slow into three, and my spotter picked up on it in the middle of three and four, and I thought, okay, maybe there's that 4 to 5 upshift into three. Like, maybe he didn't get the upshift right or something. Like, that's the only thing I could figure that would have made him that slow. But obviously, they had their issues. I don't need to really relive that, because, like, you're passing them on the front straightaway, taking their white, like, knowing exactly what that means, you know, for them. And at that point, yeah, it's just focus on hitting your marks and win the race. And, I mean, just being able to do a burnout and get out and do victory lane celebrations and all of it. It was like my first time all over again. It's been so long. So even just, like, standing up on the roof of my car, I about fell over and in victory lane, just big tree fall hard on that deal. So I can't make the highlight reel on that. So, yeah, just an incredible range of emotions in a short amount of time.
We have one more here in the middle, and then we'll come to the left side.
Hey, Austin, Justin Bradley from Fox 19. Hey, yesterday we talked about having speed. You guys had that today, obviously. But then the strategy worked out pretty well for you as well. So I'm wondering, will this be a turning point for the two team, and how big of an impact does this have on you and Brian's relationship going forward?
Yeah, I mean, time will tell. You know, as far, you know, you believe in confidence and momentum as much as you want. I'm way too much of a realistic guy, especially with myself, to think that this is just going to make me drive harder and be a better race car driver moving forward. You know, I can promise you I'm giving it absolutely everything I have to run 20th some weeks. So, you know, it's that preparation, it's that process that you, when you come to the track with cars that are capable of winning races and you go out there and do it, that's a lot of validation for a young team. And when I say a young team, pretty much from the top down, guys in new roles or within 1 or 2 years in the Cup Series. And these are guys that have been with me for a long time. You know, when we did team swap, crew chief swap at the end of the year last year, you know, I think there's a lot of a somewhat of a brotherhood culture when you do that, and you kind of just have to lean on each other with, you know, the challenges of not having the experience and having two teams that are put together that won two championships the last 2 years. So we have two great baselines for our group, but I think it's just validation in the process. You know, I've told my guys that my expectation is for us to eventually hopefully be the example, whether if that's in the garage or in our own race shop. And they all do an incredible job and are an incredibly positive group of people with no egos. And I'm just really proud because I think there's a lot of people on that team that are, you know, directly responsible for me being able to race in the Cup Series and making it to this level. So to win a Cup race with Brian is really special for the two of us.
Go here to the left.
I'm good.
One more, if I may.
Yeah.
Benjamin Hockman, Post-Dispatch. Just in general, this day at the track, I mean, I assume you're in a better mood because you won, but can you just describe what the atmosphere was like?
Yeah, I think the track has done a tremendous job here. You know, whether if it's been for the IndyCar race events and then obviously into the Cup Series events. You know, I went to a St. Louis Battlehawks game last night, and I mean, I was pretty surprised at the turnout, to be honest. And like 90% of the people there were all wearing team gear. I'm like, I gotta buy a hat to fit in here. And it shows that there's a passion for sports in this place, and the facility is always super clean, and they're always trying to do kind of innovative new things, and the teams and the drivers notice that. I'd say my only constructive criticism is maybe more bathrooms in the garage area, but past that, these guys have been knocking out of the park every year, and I think every team and driver does look forward to this event because of that. I mean, it is a people-driven sport, and it's people making those decisions, making us as race teams feel welcome and like they've prepared all year for us to show up. I feel like there's some racetracks that you don't get that feeling. So, I mean, we race a lot, and we go a lot of different places, and it's always good to come here.
Can you go to the far right, and then we'll go back to Cole for a follow-up?
Harry Loomis, podium finish. Congrats on the win, Austin. You spent all of 2022 after Daytona being locked into the playoffs. So now with this win, 11 races left in the regular season, what do you expect this to do for you these next 11 races ahead of the playoffs?
I mean, it definitely gives us an option. I mean, from a points perspective, you know, how many positions can I gain, you know, with the guys that are in the playoffs, you know, as far as getting those playoff points at the end of the regular season. I think that's the topic of conversation, because after that, you know, do we go to a road course next week at Snowman? Do we just go and get playoff points, you know, if we don't feel like we're good enough to win the race? You know, it makes some of those decisions a bit easier to throw some Hail Marys, but past that, I mean, we still got to get better. I mean, it's no secret that, this is our first win as a company this season. So we still got to be able to go out there and put numbers on the board and continue to grow our program, grow our team, you know, to where we are ready for the opportunity. It's not just an appearance. It's a run in the playoffs, because, you know, that is what's possible. The season's long, the summer's long, and a lot can happen and a lot can change. So, it'll be pretty important next couple months for us to get ready for that.
Go back to Cole.
Cole Cusumano, kicking the tires. I noticed on your victory lap, Brad gave you a wave. Obviously, he's been a team owner to you, a teammate. Did he speak to you post-race about this win? And if not, what has he meant to you in your career?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I was so consumed with not, like, screwing up the end of the race. Like, even after the checkered, I didn't even see who passed me on the cooldown lap. So it's cool that Brad waved to me, because I think a lot of him, whether if that's been as a teammate, as a car owner, or just a figure in the series, you know, as a role model in the series is to younger guys. I feel like there's definitely nothing Brad owes me, you know, in a lot of ways. You know, it was his idea to put me in a truck for the first time in 2015, and to race for his team. And, you know, it was cool to see him win, at Darlington and even share the Fox booth with him. Just, he's somebody that I rooted for growing up, and to think that I'm racing against that guy and have the relationship that I have with him, it's pretty cool. I definitely appreciate this. He even hollered at me yesterday after qualifying, putting down a good lap. So it's cool to have, you know, at least have some respect from a guy like that.
Do we have any final questions for Austin? All right, Austin, congratulations on the win. We'll see you next week in Sonoma.